Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Dirt on Daddy's Clothes. Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 1st of November. Pitch puts first of the month, Luke Moore. How did this happen? It's November already.
I don't know how it happened. Same as it happens every year, brother.
It's horrible.
I am now so old that I get a little bit jet lagged by the clocks going back. I just bored the shit out of myself all day yesterday, just looking at myself and looking at my watch, looking at my phone, thinking to myself, God, it doesn't feel it. It feels a lot later than this.
And this morning when I was like, well, what was the sun doing up? Well, it's 7:30. Last week when I was driving to the Football Ramble Towers, I was driving during the dark. I quite enjoy driving during the dark when I remember to put my lights on, and people would have to flash me to tell me to put my lights on.
Other road users don't enjoy that. And it wasn't that long ago, Pete Donaldson, Pete Diggory Dog.
Yes.
When you would be coming in at 7:30. Am I right?
It's like, oh, what? Like after a night on the tiles?
Yeah. Talking about you being a bit of a ledge.
An absolute hammer ledge. Absolute booze hound. Absolute.
When was the last time you stayed out on the piss till 7:30 in the morning?
I stayed out quite late. Until about 2 o'clock, which is late for me these days. I went to, a few weeks ago, I went to Vilnius. Are you familiar with Lithuania, Luke?
No, I'm not familiar with it. I know where it is.
We had a mate going from Liverpool, mate coming from London, and me, I would certainly describe myself as my own mate. I hate myself. But we were like, all right, let's have a quick, like, you know, tea time flight, get back on Sunday, kind of under 48 hours in a foreign country, because we have not done that for a little while, and the rules have relaxed slightly. Let's figure out where we can go. And the only two places we could go that the lad in Liverpool could go to, straight from John Lennon or the Manchester airports, the only one he could go to was like Poland or Lithuania. And we'd been to Poland before, or I'd been to Poland before, so I was like, let's do Lithuania. And then turns out he couldn't come anywhere, so then we were stuck in Lithuania. I mean, we could have gone from anywhere. So me and my friend Craig were stuck going to Luton Airport on a Friday afternoon, Friday tea time, getting on a flight it was the worst boarding experience of my life. Luton is insane at the best of times, and it's somehow gotten worse after lockdown. And but I would like to review Vilnius. I put this on the running
before,
order.
Before
little...
you review it, can I just let you know where I am with this?
Okay.
You've made going away on holiday sound worse than not going away on holiday for, I think, the 50th time.
getting back in the passport queue. They weren't checking anything. They were just checking the passports. It was the longest line I've ever been in. They warned us that it was going to take an hour and a half. We're here. We're here now. I'm legally entitled to be here. I've done everything I need to do. Just let me walk out of the emergency exit. I'm legally entitled to. Just let me out. I don't need to go
in
this queue.
Have you just solved Brexit?
Just let me in. Just open all of the emergency exits, are crying out loud.
I don't think the problem, Pete, if 100 years of air travel have taught us and borders, is that sometimes you can't take people's word for it.
Come on.
Not everyone's as trustworthy as you. Before you talk to me about Vilnius, which you desperately want to review, and I imagine it's going to be some kind of review of 6 hours in an indie bar.
Disgusting.
Walking around some kind of alternative district and something very brief about the food. Before we do that, can you please just tell me what made Luton, boarding at Luton, so bad?
big bloody queue. This is the Wizz Air queue. I mean, it's Wizz Air. It's, you know, we're not talking your Premier, but it's I think it's owned by Aeroflot or one of the Russian ones anyway. Yeah, you're born there and there's this big snaky queue that is about an hour and a half long, even though you get there 2 hours before for a tiny little trip, a cheeky little trip to Eastern Europe. And yeah, you get and because it takes so long to get in the queue, they're pulling people out of the queue to board the flights that are about to be leaving. Except they put you in a new queue that was longer than the original queue that you were in, and everyone's screaming and shouting, and it's like an episode of Airport. And I'm sitting there going, "Why is everyone so angry? This always happens at Luton. Yeah. You've never been to Luton before. It's almost as if, Luke, they don't know how many flights are landing or going away from the airport. Like, you'd think there's a number. They know how many people are going to be arriving at any one time. Sort that bit out."
Luton Airport was crap before COVID, though.
Yeah, they've improved their food options. I've noticed that.
What are they now?
Well, past security, there's loads of different ones, like Pret a Manger, that weren't there before. But to be honest, lads, you're never going to allow people to use them because they're always running for their fucking flight after they've got through security because the queues are too long on landside. And so, and then when we got back, there's a big queue, hour and a half, waiting to do your passport, proper, like, oh, this is bloody Brexit, blah, blah, blah. There were people tweeting. I sort of Googled, I did a search on Twitter for people complaining about the queue at Luton. So there were people in my queue, in front of me, behind me, taking pictures of my line, taking the picture of my head and put it on Twitter saying, "This is disgraceful, Luton. You've let us down for the last time. I'm fuming." I was going, "That's the back of my head." They're taking pictures of the back of my head and put them on Twitter.
Do you feel solidarity with those people?
I don't think there's any excuse to start whinging on Twitter because it's Luton Airport. They know what they are. They know they're an agent of chaos. Yeah. They're not organised.
Some airports just want to watch the world burn.
They really do. They really do.
Well, how's Vilnius anyway?
But it sounds stag doy. It sounds like Eastern European. It's not. It is very affordable. It is very cheap. Nobody really knows where it is. And it's just fucking stunning. And the mixture of architecture, these are wooden, like out of like the main town centre, the old town sort of thing, which looks like any old town in Europe. And, you know, this is a country that had been taken over by, you know, I think Napoleon had a crack, the Nazis had it, the Soviets obviously had it for the longest time. And so this wonderful, weird mix of like these kind of, outside of the main bit, these kind of like little sort of green wooden shacks and stuff that somehow managed to defeat the Lithuanian winter, and then these massive Soviet brutalist kind of high rises, and the mixture is so cool, and the food is so like Soviet. It's so kind of like, you know, very suety food and borscht and all that stuff, and it's so good. And the people are blooming lovely. Everyone speaks unbelievable English, and the beer is very cheap, so I heartily recommend it. But
nice.
There is a place called Uzupis, or Uzupis, I think.
Is this the indie bar?
It's not an indie bar, no. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's in Vilnius.
It could be both those things.
It could be both of those things. A UNESCO World
Heritage
Site.
Plays a lot of Franz Ferdinand. You know, it's culturally very significant.
Yeah, a UNESCO World Heritage indie band. I think, indie site, I think I could be able to, I should be on the board for that, because I've tried all of the indie bars in the whole of Europe. But a UNESCO World Heritage site. It means beyond the river Usupis, or the other side of the river in Lithuanian, one of the oldest languages in the world, of course. And basically it's like this, in 1997 it was this kind of like, I think it was like the old red light district and kind of like a commercial area, and they in the 90s it started attracting like a lot of bohemian, a lot of hippies, a lot of people like that, and they basically reinvented it as its own republic. They declared independence, the Republic of Uzupis, with its own constitution. Right. It is the only constitution in the world, in the known world, that mentions artificial intelligence in its own constitution. And it's just really, it's just really interesting. It's an old Jewish area, an old kind of Soviet industrial area, sort of built under Soviet rule. But the flag is like a hand with a hole in it, and there's just like just mad stuff going on. The constitution is everyone has the right to live by the river Vilnili, and the river Vilni has the right to flow by everyone. Everyone has the right to be happy. Everyone has the right to be unhappy. Everyone has the right to be silent. Everyone has the right to have faith. No one has the right to violence. And it's all this stuff, and then it goes sort of through, and it's like everyone has the right to celebrate or not celebrate their birthday. it's really weird. The only things they're really arsey about is everyone shall remember their name. What have you do?
I mean, There's 41 points to their constitution. We're looking at it now because you shared a link.
Yeah.
The last 3 points of their constitution are do not defeat, do not fight back, and do not surrender.
Mm. They've not thought about that, have they? Oh, they've thought about it too much.
Too much, yeah. So did you feel like you could find yourself becoming a permanent resident of Uzupis?
Oh, look, the big kind of like totem, the big sculpture that is now been replaced, but for the longest time...
Isn't it a giant egg?
It's just a big egg, Luke. It's just a big egg, mate.
Amazing. That's cool. What's the point of that, though?
I don't know. It's basically just Shoreditch of Lithuania, but I enjoyed it immensely. I've told you before, like, my patience for people with wacky haircuts and artistic ideals in Shoreditch, I have very little patience with. But as soon as I step over a border into Wales or Scotland or anywhere else,
interesting.
It's suddenly interesting, and they're well within the rights to do it.
It's not. I don't think it is Shoreditch anymore. I don't think all the cool kids are going to Shoreditch these days.
Is it Haggerston?
I think Shoreditch is seen as a little bit.
Is it Hoxton?
Yeah, a little bit passe now. I think it's all Hackney Wick and Peckham now.
Because all the house prices were so expensive in Shoreditch, so people, they say that Clapton, is it Clapton or Clacton? Which one's on the Murder Mile?
Clapton.
Clapton Pond.
Clacton's in Essex, near where you live.
That's right, yes. Yeah. We errantly bought some film tickets to the wrong cinema in Clacton.
How far away is that from where you live?
It's quite a schlep. It was needlessly lengthy, so we just went to the Odeon in Southend. So there you go.
Speaking of which, I went to see Dune at the weekend.
Oh, a bit of Villeneuve. Now, I love that Blade Runner film, what we talked about earlier on in our Look at Pitch Show run. Is it as good as Blade Runner was for me?
It's a difficult question to unpack because I haven't seen that Blade Runner film.
Right.
B, I don't know what you're currently thinking.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, I thought it was good. Right. I enjoyed watching it. It was a cool thing. I mean, it's bloody long, by the way. And it got to the point where it didn't quite cross the too slow pace threshold for me, but you could certainly see that threshold from where it was.
Yeah.
And if you craned your neck, you could definitely see the too slow pace threshold for sure. But... it was cool. What's interesting to me is that Timothée Chalamet doesn't look like any other human being, but he looks brilliant on camera. Do you know what I mean?
He kind of looks...
a very distinctive face.
He kind of looks a little bit like... Like, we had a lot of trick-or-treaters last night, and some of the teenagers looked a bit like that.
And what's your policy?
Oh, yeah, open to all. Like, the teenagers were taking the mick because they were shouting, happy birthday, happy Christmas, instead of happy Halloween. And I was, look, if you're going to turn to my door, banter. Don't be chippy. Don't try and flirt with your mates. On my time, quite frankly.
I've got 5 fun-sized chomps here. Don't take the piss.
A chomp, a 10-pence chomp is a fun-sized chomp.
How did you make it clear to... So, obviously, because the wife I have access to, being American, I think she genuinely laments how poor Halloween is in London.
I think... I do like a bit of Halloween, and I certainly like dressing up, but went back to the well. Yeah. Got me Edward Scissorhands costume out of the loft, and that was back on for one last hurrah.
To me, it looked a bit like... watching Rolling Stones live in the late 80s.
It's a little bit Friends the Reunion. It's a little bit...
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
They look
and
weird.
You're the one who's had a colossal amount of barbiturates as well in that.
No, Edward did. Edward did.
It wasn't me, it was Edward.
Yeah,
keep doing that, Pete. Go inside.
It was space drugs. It was Edward's space drugs to make him a real boy.
So the way... The Wi-Fi I have access to said to me that one of the most legendary Halloween things to happen when she was growing up in Connecticut was that people would leave their porch lights on and have their house decorated, and that meant you could go to their house.
Yeah.
And they would collect so much candy, as she would call it, that they would go with pillowcases. And by the end of their run, the pillowcase would be full, right? So that's the level of confectionery we're talking
food.
About, right? Anyway... So if the house is decorated and the porch light's on, you can go up there and say trick or treat, right?
Yeah.
She said once there was a house decorated and for Halloween, and there was a scarecrow on the porch on the swinging chair kind of thing. And they knocked on the door. She was about 8. I think she was a few of her friends. Knocked on the door and no one answered. They could hear noises inside the house. They knew someone was in, so they waited for a bit and knocked on the door again. And the scarecrow was an actual man. It was the dad of the house. And he jumped up and they legged it. And she said they didn't get any candy because they were shitting themselves, but it was like hilarious. It was like amazing. It was like the most authentic Halloween situation. And then when I think of that, and I think of me in my tracksuit bottoms with a mixing bowl full of Quality Streets.
Yeah.
And so if someone turns up, I just give them some Quality Streets and that's it. I just don't think the children of West Norwood are getting such an authentic experience, you know?
Yeah. And for me, first, I mean, we must have had about 20 visitors. Like it was pretty full on.
Did you really? So it's quite a family neighbourhood then?
Yeah, I mean, we had a Halloween party on Sunday. Damien over the road, he had a Halloween party. I when we invited everyone round, we had a bit of a do. So the neighbours came round, and I showed Damien, who lives over the road, my little cave of trinkets and whatnots and this and that I've collected over the years, and he was like, Pete, this is the best room ever. There's so much tat in here. I love tat. And so I've built up a bit of a kinship with Damien over the road, who's also into.
Is he the guy who makes the rum?
He's the guy who makes the rum. He's into like little projects and stuff. But as I said before, he's a man who sees them through and doesn't just, you know, watch them wither on the vine. But he was like, you got to come and see my tat. So we went over yesterday and I didn't get to see his tat in the end because we had some roasties on the go. Boring story, but I'm just saying I've got kinship with the man of the road who is about 6 foot seven and he likes tat like me. So
big fan. What do they dress up as?
He came over rather late at about 11 o'clock, so he didn't have anything on Saturday. Well, he had things on. He had his own human clothes on. When I went around on Sunday, he'd covered his a fairly expensive-looking T-shirt with a lot of blood. So hopefully...
So basically, by the time he turned up, there was a drunk Edward Scissorhands there with the trousers are a bit too tight on one end of the sofa talking about some kind of computer processor with a cat, loads of empty cans of Stella around him.
It was actually Stella. How did you know I was drinking Stella?
Because you sent me a video of you saying that you pulled the old costume out again. And I know what you're doing. I get what you're doing. You moved to a new neighbourhood, so you think a lot of people in the neighbourhood are going to see that Edward Scissorhands for the first time and be impressed by it. And that probably is what happened,
yeah, definitely,
right?
Yeah. But it's the only one I can do. It's the only one I could. I did that, and I did the man from Yakuza. No one's going to know who that is.
You did the travel... Trivago girl.
But that was a meme from like 5 years ago. I can't use that again, can I? There's been no meme since.
You change your tune.
But yeah.
Come one meme, come all. That's what you normally say.
But I enjoy Halloween a lot. And we had a lot of kids at the door. And the dynamic was slightly different when Sarah and me were both at the door giving out candy and wishing everyone well. The dynamic changes slightly when she's watching The Joker and I say, I'll go at the door. And it's just me in my jogging bottoms. That's the polite way of saying wank pants. And handing out... handing out candy to random children. It's not a good look for a single man, like a man who appears single at a door with a bowl of celebrations, is it? It's not great.
No, I feel the same.
Yeah.
I would go up. I would join you up to, but just drop short of wank pants. What?
Drop shorts.
What's your cut off? What's your cut off in terms of age of the kid that is eligible for the sweets?
I think. I think there was a group of kids who came to the door and they must have been pushing 14, 15. They were goths.
That's upper limit.
They were goths dressed up in Halloween costumes. You could tell they were pre-gothed. It was weird.
Yeah, that's upper limit for me. I don't really want to be going. I don't want 15-year-old boys, particularly. No, all of them, in fact. Yeah. They shouldn't be getting Halloween candy for free.
No.
They shouldn't be doing that.
And being on your doorstep, it's against many corporate rulings.
The country's gone to the dogs. The kids should be down the park drinking cider while everyone else is preoccupied with Halloween. That's how nature works.
That's how nature works. But you had a good time, though. Your partner had a lovely time.
Not really, because it's not the same, is it? Well, no, it's a difficult time of year for her because she wants... I mean, I think autumn weirdly, because of Thanksgiving and Halloween gives you a real pull back to America.
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah, cracking off for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I guess with Halloween though, you could raise your game a little bit. You have the power to Halloween your house up a little bit.
What, nothing.
We've got camp bloody skeletons all over our bloody windows. We're going to have to peel off today.
My beef with the Halloween decoration is this, right? I get what you're saying. At the moment, I'm making zero effort, so by definition, I could make more, right? But if it's Thanksgiving, you don't really do it here anyway, but just if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas...
Oh, so there you get out then.
No, but it's long. Christmas decoration stuff for ages. I've got no problem with that. It's 3 weeks plus. Halloween is what? 4 days maximum.
Yeah,
not worth the effort.
Well, that's why the scant.
Do you know what I'd do, Pete?
What?
If I was going to do it, I'd go down the butcher's. I'd get a whole bucket of pig's blood, and I'd pour it down the steps on Halloween afternoon.
Yeah,
and when people turned up, I'd say, "Do you know what that is? That's real blood. There's your Halloween."
That's a hate crime. That's a Jewish neighbourhood. You're a nightmare. You're a nightmare.
Any blood. It doesn't matter.
Why are you choosing pig blood, you absolute rot? You're excluding a lot of people.
That's just
you
the first thing
shit.
I thought of.
Well, I bet you was.
I'll tell you what.
You're a disgrace.
Sheep or goat's blood, because that's more devil, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Why are sheep? Is it just the horns? Is it just because the devil's got horns? Sheep's
that's
have horns?
That's what I'm going to do. I've got a little step outside my front door.
Right.
Next Halloween, I'm going to do a pentagram in goat's blood with candles, and I'm going to put a goat's head where the door knocker was and just literally put, "I don't want you here," in blood.
So you look more like a Satanist rather than a... Yeah, okay.
Not like "enter if you dare" or "it's a funny joke." I'm going to be unequivocal. "I don't want you here." That's what I'm going to put. And if the hardy souls knock on the door after that, they can have... a bounty celebration.
A one stick Twix. or if they're really lucky, an entire double dip. Right, let's... Yeah. We've got Halloween sorted. That's what Luke's doing next year. We'll be back very soon with your emails and some other stuff, I imagine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, "Yeah, I've had a good life, right?"
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, "Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind."
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "Rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
"Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook?" And my dad would think, "Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?"
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Abroad in Japan is the Stack podcast that brings you a taste of life in Japan. Recently, Chris Broad was joined by NHK contributor and legendary video game streamer Pete for a chat about his life as a TEFL teacher.
I one time taught a woman who was still pregnant, and I had to teach her stomach.
What?
Yes, and so...
Wait, what?
She came in, 7 months pregnant, and they're like, no, she wants you to just to talk to her stomach. So I was sitting there giving instruction, very specifically.
No.
She held her tummy, and she said, I think he's getting it. And I thought, oh dear God.
Just bizarre. Search Abroad in Japan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Wednesday and Sunday.
Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. It's, once again, you're probably aware, we released this show on the 1st of November. I cannot believe how quickly this year has gone. But in how October's gone, you guys have really sort of raised your game when it comes to emails. There are some fantastic, wholesome, frightening, threatening, wonderful emails coming in on the email box. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, as always, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Or you can get in touch via Twitter @LukeandPeteShow. Luke, do you want to kick us off, or shall I start with a wholesome karate email?
I want to do the karate
email. You can do that. Lovely old job.
All right, thanks. This is from Smith in Minnesota, who actually puts a PS at the end of the email saying, if you could give a nod to the Liverpool Supporters Club of Minneapolis, I would greatly appreciate it. Oh, yeah, because Liverpool as a football club don't get enough fucking coverage, do they? Definitely need some more. Get fucked. The Minneapolis Supporters Club, Liverpool. Whatever they're called.
Have you ever been to like an American kind of supporters club? I've been to like a Newcastle United one. That was a lot of fun.
I ended up randomly going to a Liverpool one in New York City, and it was absolutely rammed.
Yeah.
Rammed.
People really get into it, don't they? They get more into it because Americans, I guess, generally are a bit more into expressing themselves and making themselves, their policies known on things. We're quite side-eye and miserable in the UK, I think it's fair to say. So Americans, when they're really into something, they're really into something. And the supporters clubs are really, really exciting, vibey places.
You say that, and that's with the big clubs. You go to the St. Louis branch of the Portsmouth Supporters Club, and it's basically five blokes who used to be in the Navy, and that's it. You know,
correct.
So it's not always quite
all right. Fair dues.
With the greatest amount of respect to the St. Louis branch of the Portsmouth Supporters Club, if there even is one, I picked that at random on purpose. So no disrespect. Anyway, Smith in Minnesota, thank you for emailing him. The Liverpool Supporters Club of Minneapolis. We both salute you. Pete, you've been to Minneapolis, is that right?
I have, yeah. Haven't we all been to Minneapolis? Haven't we all?
No, we haven't. You always say this. You've been to Milwaukee.
Been to Milwaukee. That's right.
Yeah, anyway, Smith emails it and says, hello, guys. Big fan of Luke and Pete, as well as the Football Ramble and Wrestle Me, for whatever it's worth. Well, it's worth quite a lot. Thank you very much for saying that.
CPM style.
Smith... Smith picks up the story by saying, I enjoyed your discussion on dad karate and wanted to quickly share a story. I am a 47-year-old father and a maths professor who spent the better part of 18 months teaching online. Many days, the step counter on my watch would not go above 1,000 as I was working long days at home. This past May, as things started to lighten up slightly here in Minneapolis, I noticed a Brazilian jiu-jitsu school close to my home. I was struck with equal parts lunacy and inspiration and decided to email about trying a free class, something that those places always seem to offer. I was absolutely knackered at the end of the class, an hour of unnatural body movement, being choked to the brink of unconsciousness and having my limbs repeatedly bent the wrong way left me an exhausted, empty husk of a man. I was also the oldest person by a considerable distance and the heaviest by at least 60 pounds. My own coach, a black belt, is 10 years younger than me. By all measures, I did not seem to belong there. But I was bitten by the bug immediately. As a former wrestler, it was great to be back out on the mats, even if I had not wrestled competitively in almost 30 years, and it's a very different sport. But now I'm in there 3 times a week, I've lost some weight, I've met some great people, and have enjoyed almost every minute. I even ranked up recently, which is strangely emotional and a validation of my efforts. It can be frustrating being so old and out of shape compared to the young 20-somethings, but I'm glad I took the leap and would encourage anyone else thinking about it to do the same. Cheers, Smith in Minnesota.
I mean, what I like about that email is it is incredible.
There's nowhere for us to go?
Say again. There's nowhere for us to go.
Nowhere for us to go because it's too heartening.
It's too heartening. We can't slag it off. I just like, it's just a man, a professor, a maths professor at that, is a man who just in later life has decided to take up some fighting basically, some BJJ, and he's just so into it. He recommends it heartily, and I think he's trying to get us on the BJJ train a little bit. I think we should be open to stuff like this. We should perhaps consider taking up a martial art and getting the crap kicked out of us and then kicked into us again.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I also like the idea that because Smith is also a maths professor, as you said, when he is getting his arm bent back the wrong way, at least he knows what angle it's at.
An obtuse angle. This is too much. I don't like it. Oh, dear.
But yeah. Very good stuff. No, it's heartening.
I had to put that email in because it was so lovely. It was wholesome. I thought it was a really sort of lovely testimony to going outside your comfort zone a little bit and then getting yourself kicked in the chest for no reason.
Pete, I think, and I think in this episode where you had an opportunity to get outside your comfort zone with your Halloween party, which, by the way, I wasn't invited to, and you still went straight into your comfort zone for Edward Scissorhands, I think you could take a leaf out of Smith's book.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would be the percentage of, bearing in mind I didn't invite anyone from London, because you've got a new mate now,
Damo, whatever his name is. What's his name?
Hey, Luke. You think you're tall, mate. This guy's 6'7". He's massive.
And that's what annoys me. Is he called Damo?
I'm just saying, no. I've not tried a demo with him yet. But no, look, I'm just saying that I don't think anyone would come from London. And,
Pete, I don't want to come. You're missing the point.
Oh, right.
The point here is there's a dance we have to do.
Yeah.
And the dance is, you know I won't come. I know I won't come. But tick the box.
Tick the box.
Mate, it'd be lovely to have you there. And I'll say, no problem, mate. I'll have a look at it and see what Mimi says.
Yeah.
And then we won't come.
I've got to watch
June. And the world will carry on.
I've got to watch June.
Yeah, but you've broken... There's a battle for Arrakis, mate.
You read the newspaper.
I'm hanging out with House of Treedis. I can't come. But you've broken, I think, a vital covenant to the British men's friendship circle.
You have to invite.
I ain't going to come. You don't want me there. No problem with that. But at least do the stuff you're supposed to do. And then we can get on with our lives.
I want to see...
The fact that you've not even invited me makes it a slight on my
person. I want to see Mimi with a hired costume on my doorstep and you with a bin bag and some spooky fangs. That's
just
what
pissed.
I want.
Just pissed.
Pissed. Just absolutely wet
I'm
yourself.
I'm puked in this on the way here.
All right, well, we've had an email about, a very wholesome dad who's finding the love of karate or Brazilian jiu-jitsu or Brazilian jiu-jitsu later in life. We got an email here from... an anonymous German Londoner in Singapore. First part of the email, we're relatively certain that his dad was in the Stasi. Second part, though, his other jobs. His other jobs, yes. In the words of Luke on an off-air comment, we cannot read out the bit about him being in the Stasi. His other jobs over the years. Fascinating techniques to get people out of the house. Other jobs over the years.
It's a broad church.
Where's your dad in the Stasi? Email us in. Hello at lukepinshaw.com. His other jobs of the years include brewery master, soldier, draft,
fine.
Police officer,
fine.
Depends. Yeah. Security guard at a post office, delivery driver for sweets, builder, and for the past year, 15 years, social worker. What a change.
And those last three are also fine.
What a contrast to the previous penalty. I truly love him and hope this email makes it into the show to eternalise the man. German, London, Singapore. Look, if we've done your dad wrong, if we've done
straight
your dad
away,
dirty,
I'm thinking,
get in touch.
Why is he in Singapore? Why has he gone to Singapore?
Oh, God. Right. Hello at lukepinshaw.com if you want to get in touch. If your dad was in a position of power under the these Germans. Let us know. Hello at lukepinshaw.com.
Any
dictatorship. We'll accept any of them.
Any oppressive regime.
Yeah. I mean, probably a lot of dads who are listening now, probably also in brutal dictatorships right now. one would say. They're getting very, very popular these days, aren't they?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Never mind. We'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We look forward to that.
Looking forward to that.
Tell you what, though. Do you know what? the emails are interesting. Yep. That's why they're included.
Exactly.
Sometimes you've got to censor them. That's just part of it. And people listening who have got a problem with that, they just don't understand, man, how difficult it is at the thick end of broadcasting, Pete.
Yeah. And if you want to get someone out of a flat without a warrant, we'll tell you about it on Thursday. See you
then.
Join
the Patreon.
Join the Patreon. Secrets of the Stasi. We'll see. Bye-bye.
See you on Thursday. As Pete Rodney says, we'll see you then.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.